He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, dope?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic. And of course, Uncle Murda's in the building. We putting it on wax.
We're Jalen and Jacoby. What do we do?
We get a people. Whoa.
Jalen, who's in the studio with us today?
Uncle Murda is here.
Whoa.
And he spits bars.
Definitely do.
He spits bars, Jacoby. You know how much I love beats. I love hooks. I listen to advertisements. I understand marketing promotion. But you know what I love more than anything as it relates to artistry is bars and legitimacy in the game. He's a seasoned veteran. Welcome to the program,
Bradley. Man. Thank y'all for having me, man.
It's all
love.
Time.
Big fan.
Anytime.
Now, of course, you know, during the television section, we're going to talk to you about the wrap-up. You know,
definitely.
We're going to talk to you about the new album.
Definitely.
And we're going to talk to you about the Knicks. And, you know, just some sports questions we got for you. And we have NBA action from last night. Celtics, Sixers, Thunder, Rockets. But we start with this, my favorite weekend in the NFL, the divisional round. We get four games, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. We're going to go through them chronologically. We start with 4:30 in the Bay Area. Bang, bang, Niner gang. They host the Vikings. Now, you've been talking about the Vikings all season long. And now comes the real test. Because Kirk Cousins, he did his thing last week. Do you think that Kirk Cousins can be successful against this 49er defense?
So, as much as we put it on the right arm of Kirk Cousins, we can't pay attention to how important it is to stick the ball in the belly of Dalvin Cook.
Good point.
Because when he's running the football and they're able to do play action, all of a sudden, Rudolph is open down the field. Diggs, Thielen, who's dealing with an ankle injury, who's going to play in the game. They create a level of balance for the quarterback to actually work with. However, on the other side, 49ers playing at home. They get D4 back defensively. Richard Sherman is going to be back out there. He was dealing with some injuries late in the season. It's hard to pick against
the
Niners.
You don't have to pick them right now, but here's one thing I have to point out. Is the 49ers defense is first against the pass. First in the league against the pass. However, 17th. Against the run. Do you think we could see a big game from Dalvin Cook?
You just said the key. They're first against the pass.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you try to put the ball in Kirk Cousins' hands,
it might end up in Richard Sherman's hands?
Correct. And so they're going to be focused first, second, and third on stopping that run. Because now all of a sudden you become one-dimensional. You're playing right into their hands. That's why they've been so dynamic all season. And by the way, they're terrific offensively. Sanders and Kittle, dynamic running game. Garoppolo has shown that he can play well in big games versus terrific opponents. So this is going to be an exciting weekend of football, and I'm glad this is the first
game. And that's just the very first game. And then we move over to Baltimore, where we get to watch the greatest show in the NFL. A gentleman by the name, who just turned 23 years old, Lamar Jackson. But they face off against the Titans. And Derrick Henry ran for more yards than every other running back in the National Football League. He also ran all over the Patriots last week. Do you think Derrick Henry can carry the Titans to the biggest upset of the weekend?
John Harbaugh is not fielding a football team that doesn't have the ability to stuff the run. It's been the history of the Ravens for anybody that's been paying attention to the identity of this team.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, Peter shows up. Humphrey plays well. You got Earl Thomas back there. And they can actually rest and win time of possession because Lamar Jackson is on the other side. And they have three great tight ends. Ingram is going to play. Like, I agree with your sentiment about this has been the most exciting show in football.
It really has. This is going to be such a big game. And I want Lamar Jackson. God, they have an extra week. That bye week is so important. We've seen it every single year how important that bye week is. And the Titans are coming off a short week.
He's going to be out there like, yeah.
He's going to be everywhere. He, you know what? In the fourth quarter.
He played three weeks.
He might have his chains on in the fourth quarter. He might have his chains on in the fourth quarter. Now, Jalen Rose, he's clearly going to be the MVP of the league. But my question is, like, how long do you think the reign of Lamar Jackson is going to be?
Oh, it's just getting started. I told you earlier in the year, they tailor-made their offense with Greg Roman to fit Lamar. They didn't 100% commit to it in San Fran with Colin. The game was a lot different. Teams didn't commit to it with Vic. They didn't all the way commit to it with Cam. They committed to it with them. Mm-hmm. Multiple linemen on possessions when they know they can either run or pass the football. Multiple tight ends, as I mentioned. Andrews, Hurst, Boyle.
Fullbacks.
They can block. They can catch passes. Like, they're a complete football team.
Jalen, I have a quick question.
Hollywood Brown going deep.
I have a quick question. Where my homies?
Where they at? Where they at?
Where my homies?
Creeping through the hood.
So I have a theory. Remember who the MVP was last year?
Patrick Mahomes.
I have a theory that he's been watching everybody, like us, just celebrate Lamar Jackson all season long. Okay. Just celebrate Lamar. Because remember, Patrick Mahomes was doing what Lamar Jackson did this year, last year, changing the game, the no-look passes, the highlight plays, the left-handed throws. Like, we were all drooling over Patrick Mahomes' future last year. He missed a couple games this year. But I think that he's watching us, and he's getting motivated.
So you mean the public is what have you done for me lately?
Exactly. I think this is going to be the forgot about Dre game. This is going to be the forgot about Dre game. Like, oh, y'all forgot? Y'all forgot about me last year?
I ain't mad at
that. You forgot what I did? I'm predicting Patrick Mahomes has a huge game. What do you think about Mahomie?
I ain't mad at that at all, and I'm rolling with you. Hill, Kelsey, Mahomes, Honey Badger improving the defense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you can't sleep on Deshaun Watson. I seen the guy get kicked in the
Deshaun
eye
Watson.
And throw a touchdown. I seen him be elusive like he was in a phone booth. And also Houdini throws a touchdown. And D-Hop is uncoverable. You know that guy's going to get open. So I'm expecting a shootout. I agree with you. Don't be surprised if both of these guys go over 400-yard passing. But I have to roll with KC in this.
Yeah, I'm going with KC in this one. I mean, they went to overtime against the Bills in the first half. D-Hop didn't have a single reception. They didn't score a single point. I think that they're going to have some trouble in KC. Do you think J.J. Watt can have an impact on this game?
He had a slight impact in the previous game. You can't take that for granted. But he has to be like the two-time defensive player of the year type impact.
For them to have
couple
a
couple of sacks, forced fumbles, that type of impact in order for them to
exactly
lose.
And finally, you know, we always have an eye on sort of like what the zeitgeist feels about teams. And like, you know, kind of like we talked about with Mahomes. And I feel like the national media is sleeping on the Packers. And the thing about the Packers is they've been pretty average in pretty much all stats and sort of where their team ranks in the league, usually between 9th or 17th or 15th or 14th. But here's the thing. Not in wins. This 13-win team is hosting the Seahawks in Green Bay. You know it's going to be cold. It's going to be outside. 6:40 on a Sunday. Jalen, what do you think about this game?
David Jacoby.
You've never said my name like that before in 8 years.
Going into the game, we're going to obviously acknowledge Aaron Rodgers, the future Hall of Famer and the Super Bowl champion. We're going to marvel at the greatness of Russell Wilson and him returning to Wisconsin, the Super Bowl champion. And Beast Mode had a big run last week. And Aaron Jones has been balling this year. Do you know what you can't account for?
What's that?
It's going to be 8 to 10 inches of snow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the meteorologist now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're the meteorologist?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Aaron Jones is going to get the ball. They said Marshawn Lynch is going to have a bigger role in this game than he did last week. You think he can bring those extra pounds down the field?
And so now, because Mother Nature is going to play a factor, I'm watching two things. Time of possession, turnovers.
Yep.
That's going to be the key. Who can take care of the football in not so ideal conditions?
See, I like Hunter, and he didn't play that well in Philadelphia, but he played really well the week before. And between him and Marshawn Lynch, you kind of have like a thunder and lightning thing going on. But Marshawn got to lay off the Skittles, man. He got to lay off the Skittles, man.
What do you want from him? He's been out for a year.
He's been out for a long time. But Jalen, can I tell you why the Seahawks are going to win this game?
Ooh.
Let me tell you why.
Ooh.
Because I've watched a lot of Seahawks games. And just when you think they're down and out, Russell Wilson comes back. It's impossible to kill Russell Wilson. He's a zombie. Russell Wilson is a zombie. It's impossible to kill zombie Russell Wilson. You can't tackle him. He's always moving around. They could be down 3 scores in the fourth quarter, and somehow, some way, Russell Wilson, the zombie, gets you the win. So I got the Seahawks in this one. You got the Packers?
I'm not mad at you for that pick. And if that's going to happen, you know who else got a ball? Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
And things like knocking Wentz out of the game last week.
Mm-hmm.
not so ideal conditions, his speed, his power can be a difference. I'm going with the Packers at home.
Jalen Rose, who is in studio with us right now?
G-Unit is in the building.
Whoa!
Uncle Murder is here to represent. And you know how much I love music, Jacoby.
I know you do.
I love the songs. I love the hooks.
But what do you really love?
Bars!
Does Uncle Murder have bars?
He has bars!
Yo, you know what else I love? I love the holiday season. Because you have Christmas, you have Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, you get together with family. You know what else I love about the holiday season?
You get a wrap up.
You get the wrap up.
Definitely.
You get the wrap up. Christmas is cool and everything, but every year you'll get the wrap up. You don't know. This gentleman right here to my right does the wrap up every year, where he kind of just takes the entire year and puts it. What's the process like for doing that?
I actually have one of my friends Reem around Thanksgiving time, beginning of December. I tell them to send me everything that happened. That was big news of the year. Then I also go to Instagram and say, yo, tell me what y'all need me to talk about or what y'all want me to talk about that happened in the year. And then I see what, you know, the most responses get, like people just talking about Kanye or Trump or whatever they might say. And I go, okay, let me highlight these things in the wrap up.
Oh, it's so good.
So, you left no strays.
Yeah, I try not to.
I guess that's how you get a name like Uncle Murder.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you doing a track like this, like, do you ever think about people's feelings?
Not really. Not really. Because it's already out there. So I'm just saying it probably in a little disrespectful manner, but I'm just saying it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we have to talk about something that's not as joyous as the rap mode.
Okay.
It's the New York Knicks.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I put them in the wrap-up, too.
They deserved it.
A lot of New Yorkers are mad at me for that, too. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you always have your ear to the streets, and I know you're in the barbershops and on the block. And, like, what do you think the city feels about the Knicks right now?
I think disappointing. I think we just disappointed. We didn't get nobody. It's just like, But I think they said the Knicks took a shot at Brooklyn the other day saying, yeah, we didn't get nobody, but Durant and Kyrie still ain't playing right now. So, hey.
True story.
That's true right now. But if you fast forward 1 year when you do the wrap up.
It's going to be looking crazy in Brooklyn. Brooklyn going to be looking good. But I think New York just disappointed because we didn't get no marquee players. And they just like, mad.
What do you think they should do to turn the situation around? Because the owner is not going to change.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard in New York. It's like we're not attractive no more. People don't really look at the Knicks like as a place they want to go or be no more. So I don't know. I guess Brooklyn is where it's at now. So we just need to keep recruiting. I'm from Brooklyn anyway. So I'm more with Durant and Kyrie being over there. It's all good. Even though I'm a New Yorker, but it's like,
So you're a Brooklyn native, and the Knicks, if the Knicks keep losing, and then you get Kyrie and KD back, and the Barclays Center is rocking, could you see the Nets kind of like take over the city in terms of basketball?
I could. If Durant and Kyrie really show up next year and really show out, and that success continues for a couple years, I could definitely see Brooklyn taking it, because the Knicks is not, they just not looking good. Like, see what I said? I don't even know who you can't even name him like that, man. I don't know, man.
But for the nostalgia of the New York Knicks, who is your favorite person that has donned their jersey of all time?
Good question.
For me, I'm not going to lie. I would say Patrick Ewing, because that's when I was riding hard with the Knicks back in those days. And Pat was going hard back
then.
He was going hard. And Starks, too. Never can forget Starks dunking all over everybody. So I definitely love what Pat was doing back in the days, though, man.
Absolutely. So you went on tour. You know, you're on G-Unit. You went on tour with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson.
Yeah, shout out to 50 Cent.
No doubt.
Janet Jackson as well. What was it like? Take us behind the curtain. Like, what was it like touring with Janet Jackson and 50 Cent?
I mean, that was dope. Shout out to my guy, Tony Yayo. He was there, too.
Yep.
It was just
a lot of artists.
It was just dope. It was just like, I didn't even know Janet was going to be there. So, like seriously,
he
didn't let me know nothing. So, all I know is we're going to Australia and New Zealand.
Have your passport ready.
Have your passports ready. We get there, you find out, wow, we on tour with Janet Jackson, too? Like, us, Janet, you know, Jason Derulo was there, Brandy, Cisco, Black Eyed Peas. But I was just so amazed by, like, wow, Janet Jackson. Like,
Did you get a chance to meet her, take a picture with
her? I was on the side. I got the chance to be on the stage with her on the side, taking a little footage and all that. But when I tried to get a little extra close, it was a thing called extra security right there. There was a little extra security there, but it was cool, man. It was definitely a pleasure.
When you have such a big show like that with such a such diverse acts, like when you look out in the crowd, can you see like, oh, they're there for Jason Derulo? Like,
definitely, you get there. But you know what? Our set was so live. It was like the people really came out for Fifth, and like it was like, it was just dope. And to even see people like knowing my records and performing my records and adding me on social media, like, yo, we love your performance, or them showing me, them singing my records while I perform, it was just a dope experience, man.
There isn't a show that represents power like we do.
And yeah, I definitely do. So I just saw my guy Tommy up here.
So what are your thoughts on what's happening with the
spoilers,
show right now?
No spoilers.
I couldn't even spoil it if I wanted to. Because actually, when we was on tour in Australia, I kept trying to ask 50, yo, man, me and Yayo, who shot Ghost? You know what I mean? He said, you think I would tell y'all?
so you can put
I can't even spoil it. Yeah, exactly. He said, I know that wrap up coming. Definitely.
We appreciate you. And I also want you, everyone, to know the new album, Don't Come Outside, Ooh. Volume 2.
What is it called?
Don't Come Outside, Volume 2. Definitely with all the knucklehead stuff Trump doing. And just that kind of season anyway, man. Yeah, Don't Come Outside, Volume 2, featuring Jadakiss on there, Benny the Butcher, Styles P, Conway, Tory Lanez, Dave East, Q Bands, Derez Deshawn, Aviator Keys, a lot of, you know, treats on there.
Wait, man. I have a question. Uncle Murder, when does that album drop?
It dropped today. It's out right now as I'm on one of my favorite shows. So this is definitely a good day in the week. It's starting off.
Absolutely.
Good.
Well, make sure you get Don't Come Outside Volume 2. And make sure if you haven't listened to the wrap up, you listen to the wrap up every single year. Uncle Murray, you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank y'all, man.
We have another guest, Jalen, who joins us next.
The Glove. Gary Payton is here.
I just saw him in the green room like, wow.
That's how we do it.
Definitely.
Right?
I like what's going on up here.
Appreciate you. Jalen Rose, who is in the studio with us right now?
All I know is this. You know, I'm really specific on the people I say that I looked up to, idolized, mm-hmm. and are like OGs.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happened that this is the Glove. He's a Hall of Famer. His name is Gary Payton.
Gary,
what up, family?
What's up, fam? How you doing?
And everybody knows the kinship that Oakland has with Detroit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We the mini Detroit.
No doubt. No. And so we appreciate you joining us. It's a lot of things happening in the NBA, but I was so happy that you were going to be on today because Russell Westbrook returned to OKC.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans are really enthusiastic. They gave him a standing ovation, and rightfully so. He put in so much work for that franchise. What did you think about their return, and do you believe he and James Harden can legitimately win the West?
Well, I think OKC did the right thing. He didn't ask for get traded. They traded him. He was there for 11 great years, you know, and he played. He was a diehard with them, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to honor him that way. As in the Houston Rockets, we don't know. I mean, I hope that he can bring them over, put them over the top. He's starting to do this low management stuff again. I never seen him do that. I guess that they're trying to load up for the playoffs because they know that James, when he gets to the playoffs, he never performs in the playoffs. I don't know if it's be tired because they wear him down, but he's the type of guy that he don't want to do low management. He wants to play. Mm-hmm. He's a playground type of guy, yep. man. He wants to get it. He want to get it in. And I like that of that guy because he plays basketball. He don't be talking about, man, my body hurt or whatever. He go home and go to rest. They only play for 2 hours. That's mm-hmm. all. You know, Jalen, we play for 2 hours, man, and we play more basketball than they did nowadays.
Correct.
We had more back-to-backs. We had, training camp when we had two-a-days. We did a lot of basketball. We played a lot of basketball. These guys got a, like a club med, but I respect that, and I think what they're going to do is they're going to want Westbrook and him to be really, really ready. Because they don't want to do the repeat in the playoffs. Mm. And that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? And I respect that. And if they get it going, they can beat a couple of people in the West. Oh, they can beat somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then with Capello, you know, Tucker, and then you got Gordon back now. Yeah, these guys can beat a couple of people. They can go far in the playoffs, and I think that's what they're doing. They're getting ready for that.
So I'm really glad that you are here today, Gary, because one thing we always have you guys do for us is take us behind the curtain. You know, take the fans behind the curtain in some behavior. So take a look at Russell Westbrook last night during the game. He's on the bench. But he's not with the team. He's way on the end of the bench. See him over there?
Yeah.
By himself. Yeah. Gary, as a fan, I'm looking at this and I'm like, well, that's odd. Seems like he should be part of the huddle. You play in the NBA a long time. Is that normal behavior?
That's normal behavior. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because if you would have seen me during my time, if you go back to when I played, I used to go on to the scorer's table and sit there. And then I used to look at the huddle and look at Coach Carl, and people would always scrutinize me for that. They'll be like, why is he not listening? But then George Carl would come back and say, yo, don't worry about him. I know he's listening. That's what he does. And that's what to get my mind into it. It wasn't disrespecting my teammates or nothing. I went and told my teammates, this is what I want to do. When we get in the huddle, I want to be over here. You know what I'm saying? It's not nothing personal. I feel comfortable because I'm got my mind thinking about what I done did wrong. What I need to do more. I wasn't like I'm looking in the stands. I'm looking at nobody. But I'm hearing everything that Coach Carl is saying in the plays. Now, I understand if he didn't understand. But he wasn't going back in the game.
Correct.
So it wasn't nothing that he could see and he should see. He wasn't going back in the game. So, okay, he's over there. Now he's got his mindset. He's mentally into it. And then he can do it. Now, if he was in the game, I have a problem with that.
Okay.
But he wasn't in the game. He was over there. And that's the way they do it. Let these dudes do what they do. You know, this is a different generation. Mm-hmm. Let them do what they do. As long as he come out of there and perform and know the plays and know what's going on, I have no problems with that.
So that's perfect taking us behind the curtain. Because when you look at it as a fan, it looks a little funny. But now you explain it and explain how you did it. We really appreciate that. Now, there's another game last night we want to talk to you about. That was the Celtics and the 76ers. 76ers and the Celtics, two of the best teams. But you know who the star of the show was? Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson had 29 points, 7 assists, and that's kind of, this is the Josh Richardson that they traded for. Like, this is the Josh Richardson that they wanted. What did you see from Richardson last night and the Celtics without, I mean, the Sixers without Embiid?
But you know what? This kid right here is the X factor to their team.
Mm-hmm.
If you really, really think about it, remember when he was hurt? They weren't playing very well, you know, and they don't have that point guard other than Ben Simmons to handle the ball. And at the end of the game last night, you seen that he was handling the ball because he can shoot jump shots. He's more aggressive, and he's that X factor that had happened. And when the game was getting on the line, they put Ben Simmons where? In the corner. Mm-hmm. And they let him cut and do the things, and they had Richardson have the ball. And then what he does is he brings something to you. He can get to the bucket. He can shoot free throws. That's one. He's a good free throw shooter, and then he can knock down a jump shot. So that's what they did, and they kept the ball in his hands because they knew that was the reliable, because their knock is, if they get to the playoffs, do they have enough shooting? Do they have enough offense? And that's what they're trying to show now. With him and Harris, they have to step up and be the two guys that's going to do that if they want to go far in the playoffs. And I think he is now evolving to be that player.
So this question has a duality for me. I really love Ben Simmons, and I'm trying to get fans to now appreciate him for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that's just not going to make shots outside of the paint. However, you're not only one of the greatest defensive players of all time, you're one of the greatest trash talkers of all time. How would you play against Ben Simmons? What would you say to him about not shooting the ball? And do you think his lack of shooting has cost Philly from winning the championship?
You know what, Jalen? I would get on him too. You know how I go at him. Because I'll make you feel real bad. And then I'll bag up off of him. But you know what he's so good at? Is that if you bag up off of him, he eats up space.
Mm-hmm.
And when he eats up space, he's too big. And he's versatile with both of his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would really do with him is I'll pressure him a little bit more. I'll make him want to go to the bucket, and then I'll start stripping him. Then when I do that, I'll get off of him. I'll make him see a different side of defense all the time. He's so good. He don't have to shoot the basketball because he can do whatever he wants. Has nobody under, you know, they haven't really solved him yet. Because if you can get to the bucket anytime you feel like it, so what? Who cares? Do what you gotta do. But the only problem is that in the playoffs, it changes. possession changes, and a lot of people, you play them seven times in a row if you have to, and then that'll change. Mm-hmm. That'll change. They'll start jumping, bagging off of him, and then when he sucks in, they'll start doubling him to make him do other stuff. So, but right now, during the season, he doesn't have to shoot the basketball. He can get to the bucket when he wants to. So people have to adjust when they get to the playoffs. But until they make me change my game, I wouldn't change my game. You know, I wouldn't change my game at all. Now, if they start making me change my game like they did with Giannis, and Giannis starts shooting threes now, and he's making them every now and then, and he's making them respecting, then I'll go and start thinking about what I have to do to make that little 15 or 16-foot jump shot.
So you are famously from Oakland.
Yes.
But you are Bang Bang Niner gang.
That's what I am. I'm a Niner.
So how did you become a Niner fan being from Oakland?
Check this out, y'all. When you grew up, and I'm just going to say it, and I'm going to keep it real.
Do it.
If I go with Jalen and rob a bank.
Okay.
And it's me and him.
Okay.
Okay. So we get caught.
Uh-oh.
And we in a different room, and Jalen tells on me, that's my fault from the beginning. Okay. Now you a traitor to me. Now if I come back to you, and you do it again, you're really nothing to me ever in my life.
I see where you're going.
When I'm growing up, I didn't have the Raiders. I had the L.A. Raiders. Mm-hmm. So I'm not dealing with them. You left my city one time, then you're going to try to come back because of some money, and now you think I'm going to be riding with you, and now you're going to leave again and become Las Vegas. You're not a fan of mine. You're not Oakland. Mm. It's just like the Golden State Warriors. You're leaving my city.
I was going.
You're killing my city.
Yes.
You're killing my city.
Killing.
My city is gone now. We got one team, and that's the Oakland A's, and we're trying to save them to build them a stadium on the water in Jack London Square. Now you telling me that I'm supposed to be a Raider fan and I'm supposed to be a Warrior fan? I didn't grow up in San Francisco. That ain't my problem. If you want to go over there, then I won't come. I haven't been at the arena. I won't be at the arena. So there it is.
I want to ask a follow-up question to that, because as a Detroit native, I took it very personal when the Pistons left to go to Auburn Hills. Mm-hmm. The Raiders left to go to Vegas, another state. Can you talk about how that changes the financial dynamics of your city when professional teams decide to leave the way both of those squads did?
Check it out, Jelly. We didn't never, you know, teams always go to San Francisco and go to the hotels. Our city was struggling from day one. We should have been doing like this. Our city should have been, and the mayor and everybody should have been like, let's build hotels. Let's build some better hotels. Let's do a lot of more things around the arenas. Let's make it like that. When the All-Star was there, where did everybody go? To San Francisco. Mm-hmm. They wasn't in Oakland, man. We don't get to show that our city is good. And our city is changing very much. We're starting to be a great city. A lot of people are moving in our city, doing a lot of things. And now you're going to take our team's away. So what are we going to do with the marinas now? They're going to just sit there. It's taking the economy away from us. It's not giving us nothing. It's not making anything out of our city. We can't have nothing there no more. We're trying to make baseball be okay. If we build a baseball arena, then we can have the All-Star game there or something like that. Build our stuff back up so then we can start building hotels so people can stay downtown in Oakland. We got one major hotel. That's why nobody comes here. But we don't force Oakland to do that. We don't force our people to do that. And now you take our sports away from us, and we have nothing. We have nothing, and we're just a city now. Just nothing in the city, and they call it the town. They still wearing our jerseys over there in San Francisco. Yeah. Don't be the town. Be San Francisco. Be Frisco. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that neither. It's not the town out there.
Gary, very quickly, LeBron James is leading the All-Star voting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that process and the fan voting?
Well, you go with the most popular players. You know, that's what it is. You know, he's a popular guy. He's been in the league 17 years. They talk about he's slowing down, which is a bunch of, you know, crap. Mm-hmm. He's not slowing down. You see what he's doing. Him and AD is 1 and 2. And then that's what it is. And then you got Kawhi. I wasn't surprised that it was like this. You know, Giannis Nim is going to be up there for a minute.
Luka.
But this is Luka. Luka is a surprise. And number two, you know, the second year of what he's done, nobody expected him to be this way. They didn't expect Dallas to be like this. And that's a surprise. Even the young kid down there, Trae Young, he is doing a great job, too. Sure. He's leading the guards in the East. Mm-hmm. So we didn't expect this, but I did expect that he's still the top player in the world to me because he does everything. Giannis is having a great year. He's starting to prove that he's going to be probably take over for him. But right now, I still think the king is still the king because he's changed his team. He's done got a Batman. He's done got a Robin.
Yeah, he does.
He's done got a Robin with him. He's got a Robin. You know what I'm saying? And Robin is doing pretty good. And he's one of the top players in the world. So I think he's still the number one player to me in my eye.
Gary Payton, thank you so much for joining us in Jalen Jacoby. You're welcome to come back anytime.
I'm on here, man. Anytime y'all want me, man. I'm here, man. I'm here.
First of all, I want to thank Gary Payton for coming by.
No question.
So nice to have that Hall of Famer here. And, of course, Uncle Murder. But now, it's just me and you. And you really care about what we talk about on this show. So we made a segment tailored just for you. It's called Keep It Moving. I'm going to propose a topic if you want to discuss it and hit the brakes. If not, we'll keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
I have the most keep it moving topic that we've ever had on the show. Terrell Owens thinks the Cowboys should sign Tom Brady. Hit the brakes and discuss it or keep it moving.
T.O., you need to be playing more basketball. Cowboys, Brady, please keep it moving.
We'll keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Oh, wait. Oh, this next one is also very keep it moving. Antonio Brown is training with Floyd Mayweather to fight a YouTube star, Logan Paul.
I know one thing. Those two dudes in the same room at the same time, that's a lot of money. Keep it moving for now.
Keep it moving.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Tristan Thompson had himself a game last
night.
Hit
the brakes.
We'll hit the brakes on this one.
Hit the brakes.
Tristan Thompson, 35 points, 15 for 20 from the field, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. And look at how they celebrated when he came in the locker room. Jalen Rose, this locker room celebration, too much for a regular season game or just a bad team celebrating something?
It's not too much. The great American philosopher David Jacoby once said that people don't celebrate enough.
Got to celebrate, especially when you're on the Cavs.
And also, they've dealt with some turbulence these past few days with their coach and what he said in the film session. It's also been a trying season overall, record-wise and emotionally. Dan Gilbert has also dealt with some health issues. He is a Detroit native and supporter. That's who they were playing against. So watching Tristan Thompson have his career high against my hometown team, I was not happy about it.
You know what? I was just so happy just seeing them jump around the locker room and smile and have fun, knowing what they've been through with the Kevin Love stuff and then the B-line stuff. It just really warmed my heart. You know, I'm very sensitive, and that just made me so happy. Shout to Tristan Thompson.
You want us to trade you? You got to do some work.
Exactly. Well, Tyler Hero is a bucket. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes. It's one of our guys.
Well, he is such a bucket that a fan brought him a bucket, an actual bucket to sign, and he signed the bucket. Soft move or boss move, bringing a bucket for Tyler Hero to sign.
That's a boss move. I like that a lot. Smart fan. Mm-hmm. Getting a chance to meet probably one of his favorite people and players. Innovative to bring him a bucket because that fits his game.
Jalen, Michigan men's basketball team played last night against Purdue. I know you watched this one.
Hit the brakes.
What did you see in this game from your Wolverines?
First off, shout to Purdue.
Yeah.
Like right there, he was doing work down low. He was doing work, turn over the right shoulder, bank shot for Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
But however, Xavier Simpson did a terrific job being Juwan Howard's Tom Brady.
Coach
you see the 9 assists. You see the 9 for 13. Teskey played well.
He had 18.
Wagner had 15.
Love Wagner.
Double overtime, tough Big Ten win, especially when the big guy on the other team got like 36 and 20.
You know what? I was watching this game and I was like, I think Teskey is the most Big Ten of any Big Ten basketball player I've ever seen.
Yes.
He is the personification of Big Ten basketball.
I agree.
That guy Teskey. And I like this Wagner better than the other Wagner. I love this Wagner. He can hit the threes. Oh, what's this? Oh, we have a Nas Carter update. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
We're gonna hit the brakes, of course. Our favorite men's basketball player in college is Nas Carter, who just happens to be nephew of whom?
Jay-Z.
He had 16 points and 3 rebounds, but he didn't do enough to carry the Huskies to a win. But you're still going to be on Jalen and Jacoby, Nas.
I just want to know what Jay said when he got the call. So what you going to name a nephew? Nas. You ever heard about this famous beef in rap music?
Might as well name him Ether. His middle name is going to be Ether. First name Nas, but he's going to have the same last name as you. Big shout to Hov, one of the greatest to ever do it.
No question. Rock Nation, stand up.
UConn women's basketball lost at home. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Keep it moving. They need Kobe daughter.
First time in 99 games. We keep it moving. Home.
They're just going to get her closer to getting Kobe daughter.
So, our producer Demetrius forced this topic into the show.
I should have stopped on that one and kept it moving on this one then.
And it's about Lil Boosie and a shirt that he wore. Keep moving.
Oh, that's the case.
The brakes.
Lil Boosie hit the brakes.
All right. So Lil Boosie wore a Kappa Alpha Psi shirt, even though he is not a Kappa. Apparently, this is a big deal in the community. Jalen Rose, he said he could wear whatever he wants. Lil Boosie violating or no?
I don't feel like he's violating. To me, if you have a public brand, and somebody's wearing a shirt to support it, that doesn't seem like a violation to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a violation to me either. I don't know what people are upset about. But also, I don't belong to a fraternity, so I could care less. Jalen Rose.
What up, though?
Yesterday, we talked about KD going back and forth with a fan about sort of the relevance of the Nets in New York City. And I support this new KD. I want him to voice all of his opinions. Let the people know. Use social media. Get in debates. Get mixed up with fans. Do whatever you want, KD. But last night, it wasn't a fan that he was going back and forth with. He went back and forth with Kendrick Perkins. First, KD sort of coming after Kendrick Perkins' production while he was on the Thunder. And then we have Kendrick Perkins going after KD for joining the Warriors after he lost to those same Warriors in the playoffs. Jalen, I know you have very strong opinions about this.
Yes.
When you saw this, how did you feel?
So, to not take a side because this became personal.
Absolutely did.
I have to take the approach as somebody that's been covering the NBA Finals for almost 20 years, the OG route. So basically, how do I see this if I was on their team? Is how I'm about to break this down. Because the dynamics are way different. What we were discussing yesterday was KD going back and forth with a random fan or a media person. To me, that's beefing down. In this case, Kendrick Perkins works in the media.
Yep.
He was talking about going on SportsCenter, and it's his job to give certain opinions. But it's uniquely tied to the fact that they were both teammates at a time when KD's under question of whether he could get it done or not.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden, my former teammate comes out and talks about what I'm not, based on the fact that I didn't get it done, and he was on the team too. Right? He was on the team too. And so I always point to the fact that in the media, we're allowed to give the best player all of the credit.
Yep.
Act like Michael Jordan won 6 rings by himself. But in reality, it was a team game.
Full team.
And so for KD, it does cross the line, in my opinion, by Big Perk, my dog, when he says KD only made it to the second round without Russ, when somebody else is pointing to him that Russ never made it out of the first round without KD. Now, uniquely, both of them guys at OKC have been MVP of this league.
Yes.
And there's something to be said for guys that are able to accomplish that. So that makes it an argument. Okay. However, you can't talk about me not getting out of the second round. And you can't talk about me leaving when I probably got in the car multiple days and complained about how you play.
Of course. Well, there's a couple things I want to say. I think they're both wrong for some of the things that they said. Number one, you're going to point out Perk's production. You got a successful team. And also, if you watch that team, they weren't running plays for Perk. You know what I mean? Like they, it wasn't exactly the Kendrick Perkins offense. It was Russell and KD. And also, I don't think this is the weakest move to join the Warriors. They had a spot for you. They have a great team. They're having fun. They're winning games. Join the Warriors. If I was KD, I would have done it too.
No, but that part is spoken like a former teammate. Because remember, there were times when they lost to the Warriors. When you walk into the locker room, those guys are hugging and crying together. And you're saying, screw those guys. We're going to get them next year. And then he go join the team. So I know personally Perk feels some type of way about that. But again, in KD's defense, he can feel like you one of the reasons why I didn't get out of second round because you only averaged 3-2 and you was my starting center. And also, we couldn't get it done. That's why I needed to leave. And lastly, let me just say this.
What's up?
Everybody want to throw shade at Kevin Durant. I don't care what he puts on Twitter, how many burner accounts he's had in the past. 99% of the time when he's on the team, he's the best player.
When is he not?
Let's not get it twisted.
When is he not?
He's the greatest Oklahoma City Thunder player. He was the best player on the Warriors when they won 2 championships.
Mm-hmm.
Shout to Dr. J, Jason Kidd, Derek Coleman. He's going to have a chance to be the greatest net of all time.
Facts. And he probably will be. Jalen, Monday night. We don't have a show on Monday because it's the big national title game. So right now, I want you to tell me who you think is going to win LSU versus Clemson.
Clemson, second straight undefeated season. They have a lot to prove, a lot of motivation. They understand that people have overlooked who they play. And they're kind of, what's that? What's happening here?
Well, you know, Ed Ogeron, he likes to shotgun Red Bulls.
What's that
so
noise?
You know who I got. You know who I got.
Oh, no! Oh, man, this show is getting more and more cultured by the day. What are you doing? Who does that?
Go Tigers! Go Tigers!
Normally when people have keys in the hood, it's like a guy that works really hard. Why you got all these keys? You don't work hard.
Because there's 3 bike locks on there. I can't figure out which key goes to which bike lock. That's what happened. We always say we give the people what they want, so we're not just going to give you the television show audio. We always give you podcast exclusive. Too Hot for TV.
Uncle Murda is here!
Whoa!
And he spits bars!
Definitely do.
He spits bars, Jacoby! You know how much I love beats.
So one thing that I want to discuss with you, which is obviously you're in G-Unit and 50 Cent, is the Nick Cannon Eminem thing. Where did that come from?
I'm not sure. I know they got some long beef from way back. I'm not sure. But, you know, I got to be politically correct. I'm Team 50 Cent, so shout out to Eminem, the guy that made it happen for him.
No doubt. Detroit native.
Shout out to Mariah Carey, too. That's my homegirl. We did a record together, so I stay out of their little issues with them over there.
No doubt about it.
You know, you see us in our studio flow and how we prepare and get ready. So when you're in the studio, what gets you ready to go? Like, what is your routine?
First, the beat got to be fire for you to get in your musical space. Then it take a couple, I probably call it hors d'oeuvres. You know, you got to drink. Then the other thing, I call it maybe hors d'oeuvres.
Okay. Got you.
Medicinal. Yeah. Medicinal to get everything going the way it needs to go.
Sure.
And then we get right.
What's your writing process?
Sometimes I try not to rush it. It might take me a couple days to finish a record. Or sometimes if you're in that zone, it could take you an hour. It all depends on how the night going, how the beat catching you and things of that nature. But I try not to rush it though. Let it come.
You talked about doing a song with Mariah Carey. What's some of your favorite collabs you've done recently?
Recently, man, I actually like working with the young guys. Like, it's a young artist out of the Bronx right now, New York, Lil TJ. Me and him just did a couple of records. So, but you know, I love working with my guys, like the Jadakisses and the Benny the Butchers and Conway, Styles P. Shout out to Tory Lanez. Me and him got a few records. Dave East, that's my guy. Me and him be working a lot. So, you know, I just like working with whoever it come with naturally.
You know what I appreciate?
What's up?
90% of the people that he named have been on this show.
Definitely. That's why I had to come here. That's exactly why I had to come here.
Yo, what do you think about Griselda and that, like, Buffalo thing they got going on?
I'm loving what they're doing. Hot. I shouted them out in the rap, but, man, I love what they're doing because they just stayed in their lane. They didn't try to do what everybody else was doing. Mm-hmm. They stayed in their lane. It worked for them. They caught Eminem attention. Then they got Jay-Z attention. They had Drake shouting them out not too long ago. So I love what they're doing, man.
Yeah, and I think that you're kind of an artist like that, too. Like, you're not, you don't go in the studio and say, how do I make a hot record? Like, how do I make a record that's going to go pop? You know what I mean?
Definitely. Let me just make myself the music. Yeah, definitely. You know, I was big back in the days, like, yo, don't use auto-tune or don't try this, but I've been around for a while, so as being around for a little bit, I try different things as well. Even though I stay in my lane a lot, but I do try different things. Like when I did a record with Future, I was a little bit out of my lane. Even the Tory Lanez record, I was a little bit out of my lane. So I like to try different things on records. You know what I'm saying?
So, and your audience always appreciates that.
Of course,
too.
Of course.
You know, they see you doing different sounds, getting on different beats, working with different artists.
Definitely.
Gotta show the versatility.
Definitely, of course.
That's how you have the longevity.
And you have growth. So, you know, the young boys relate to me and they rock with me. So I love that, man.
How has the business, like the financial side of the music industry, changed since you've been in the game?
I actually think it got better with the streaming nowadays. There's so many different avenues to get money with streaming going on, so it's better. And definitely for the young guys, when they come up with a hot record, they start running around immediately getting $40,000-$50,000 a show. So I definitely think there's more money in hip hop now. Definitely with social media, it's so easy to promote yourself and get it going. So as long as you're working and being consistent, you're going to get some money.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you went there, because Biggie once coined the phrase, either you sling crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. And so a lot of times people see athletes and or artists is the only route to get out of the hood.
Definitely.
And I always talked about what I appreciate now about rappers and hip-hop, people that contribute to hip-hop. Athletes and them are not staying on the same street.
Definitely.
Buying the same
houses. Yes, yes,
right?
Definitely.
But that's what changed,
yes,
right?
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of money in hip hop now. It got bigger, you know. Mm. It's more out there.
Jalen, who are the guests that we have to thank?
I am so enthusiastic about today's program.
Me
we had
too.
A Hall of Famer on the show. The Glove, Gary Payton, representing Oakland. And everybody knows Detroit and Oakland has a kinship.
And who
that
have
dates
G-Unit?
Back generations. And from G-Unit, Uncle Murder, who spits bars.
What's he spit?
Bars.
Where am I going this weekend?
To get his album.
Bars.
To get his album. Don't Come Outside.
Volume 2 drops right now. Get it anywhere you can. Appreciate you listening to Jalen Jacoby. We'll be off on Monday, back on Tuesday. ESPN 2 at 2 and anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And make sure during the weeks, you check us out, 10:15 on Jalen versus Everybody IG and on my Twitter handle at Jalen Rose. We give you the pod experience live like no other.
Jalen, we'll be back on Tuesday. Why's that?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people.